there are some questions about where Paul was when he wrote these letters to the church in Philippi. Some people think that perhaps he was imprisoned in Rome. We can read about Paul's imprisonment just very briefly at the end of the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 28, we read that Paul has been arrested and had been shipped all the way to the capital city of the Roman Empire called Rome. There he was in prison, and according to tradition, he was imprisoned for 2 years in house arrest until he was eventually killed and martyred by Nero. There's two different ideas about that. There's some scholars who think that Paul was released after a time and he was able to go out and evangelize for a while. There's some tradition that he even went into Spain where he wanted to bring the gospel. There's other people who think that Paul was never let out of prison, that he actually stayed and he appeared before Nero, the emperor of the time, after his house arrest. He appeared before the emperor, and there the emperor heard Paul's testimony, and then after that, Paul was killed. There's a couple of slides. You can go through a couple of those just real quick, Gary. Yeah, go on to the next one. Next slide. There we go. Stop there for a moment. My family and I were able to go to the city of Rome back in 2013, because it's just before I started my hospice job. So I was a chaplain in hospice for 2 years. But just before I started that job, as a family, we took a trip to Europe. It was a trip that we had planned for like a whole year. We had everything planned out. One of the places that we stopped and really was the highlight for me was Paul's tomb. This is a picture of me in front of where Paul was buried. Well, when he was buried years ago, it did not look like this. This was the inside of a church where his tomb was located. But actually, back in the day when he was actually killed, it was a cemetery. And then they built this church over the spot where Paul was actually buried. It's very interesting that They found this, and deep down, like 10 feet down, there was a tomb, and they found some bones there. So they actually dated those bones to the first century. So it's very possible that this is indeed the tomb of the Apostle Paul. Paul mentions in verse 13 that he was chained to the imperial guards. Those would be the guards of Caesar. And so as he's writing this, it's very possible that Paul was in Rome, just about to be killed by the emperor Nero. And when we read it in that context, it puts a different nuance into these words as we read these letters that he's writing to the Philippian church. So let's look at this real closely and find out some things that will apply to our life this morning. So first of all, we're going to look at the influence. First slide. The influence that Paul had. So looking back at verses 12 and 13, Paul says here that I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Well, how could he say that when he's sitting in prison, chained to the guards, and he's just about to lose his life? Because Paul had the idea that he had the opportunity to influence the people around him. Can you imagine being that you are one of those Roman guards, right? You've got your little fuzzy hats that they used to wear. You see pictures of that. I don't know if they wore those fuzzy hats everywhere. But these Roman guards were big. They were like football players, okay? They were mean. They carried swords. And Paul was chained to one. Why? So that he wouldn't escape. Well, he wasn't going to escape anyway, was he? No, but he was chained to a guard. Now, if you were chained to the Apostle Paul, what do you think you were hearing? You were hearing the gospel, weren't you? Paul was taking advantage of the opportunity to share the gospel with wherever he went. Ministry is where we are right now. Paul was witnessing to the prison guards. He was salt and light to those around him. Even in the most difficult situation, Paul was giving a testimony to the people around him. And it had become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment was for Christ. That means everyone who had heard about this prisoner called Paul of Tarsus had heard about Christ. I cannot imagine how what I would do if I was chained like Paul the Apostle. Would I be brave enough to give a testimony for Christ like Paul, so that everyone in the entire prison came to know about Christ because of my testimony? Romans chapter 8, verse 28. That's a favorite verse, but let's read that, because you know Paul wrote this to the Christians in Rome. When Paul wrote this Roman letter, he wrote it to people who were under this kind of persecution. So what does he say? He says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose." That does not mean simply that people like the Apostle Paul. That means all of us are called according to God's purposes. Paul did not know when he wrote this back, Romans 8:28. He did not know that he was going to be in prison someday in Rome. He probably wrote that letter in Corinth when he was a free man. But he wrote this in full confidence that no matter what happens to us, no matter where we go, where we are, God can work through us for His good and for His glory. Point number two, discipleship. Let's look at verse 14. "And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." So Paul, in his ministry and his influence, was influencing the brothers and sisters around him. Well, who was there with him? Well, if he was indeed in the Roman prison when he wrote this, which I kind of think he was, so we'll assume that Paul was in Rome when he wrote this. He also wrote the letter 2 Timothy while he was in Roman prison. And so in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 through 12 and verse 21, we read about who was there with him. So let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, begin with verse 9. "Do your best to come to me soon." So Paul is writing to Timothy. "For Demas, in love with his present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia. Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful for my ministry. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus." And then down in verse 21. "Do your best to come before winter. Eubulus sends greetings to you, as do Pudens and Linus and Claudia and all the brothers." There are a lot of people with Paul. He's not alone. Paul has a lot of influence over these people, and he is discipling them. He is training them, even though he's in prison. Look at the list of names. Timothy, Mark, Luke. That's the Mark and the Luke who wrote our Gospels, by the way. Tychicus, Eubulus, Pendus, Linus, Claudia, and then he just adds all the brothers. Paul is discipling them, even though he is in prison and chained to these guards. And the result is that these brothers and sisters that are with Paul are bold to preach the gospel now, because Paul has been encouraging them. Now let's think about this for a moment. When Rhonda and I returned to mission work back in 2016, we were invited to go to our regional office in Singapore. We actually made it there in 2017. So we go there and we show up at our regional office with some other missionaries who from across our region. And we're sitting around this big table, and we're there to do some teaching and orientation and things like that. So we were there, and the first person who stands up to teach us, I call him our undercover missionary on our region. I better not mention his name because he's like top secret. But he stands up, and he's there. He's going to teach us that day, and we're ready to get all this good teaching. And you know what he does? The first thing he asks us is, "Do you know the name of the taxi driver who brought you here today?" We all failed. We were so busy in our own little world that we did not take time to get to know the taxi driver who brought us there that morning. Oh, wow. We all felt so bad. So the next day, every one of us, there are about 10 or 12 missionaries there, every one of us knew the name of our taxi driver who brought us there that morning. So let me ask you this question. Do you know who sold you the groceries yesterday at Payless or American Grocery? Do you know their name? Or Costulus. We went to Costulus. You know they wear name tags. We can be an influence wherever we go. Do you know the person at the gas station? Do you know the person wherever you go? Get to know them. What an opportunity we have to disciple and to influence the people around us. Just think about Apostle Paul here sitting in the Philippian prison. He's chained. But all of the guards are hearing about Jesus Christ. Paul cannot help it. His life, as he says here in a couple of verses, his whole life is Jesus. And he's going to share about Jesus no matter where he goes. And then he's encouraging the brothers and sisters. Well, Paul can't get out in Rome. Rome was a big city back then. It was the capital of the whole empire. Paul couldn't go out, but the brothers and sisters could. And it says that they were bold to speak the word without fear. Isn't that tremendous? So I want to encourage us as believers today. Well, first of all, to be discipled by one another. And I'll do my best as pastor to help us to grow in our faith. That's my goal, is to help us all grow in our faith, no matter how old, young we are, whatever walk of life. But then to think, what kind of influence can I have wherever I go? Let me tell you about our day yesterday. It was an awesome day. Man, if every day was like yesterday, I don't know. So, Shan, we're trying to get Shan involved in Special Olympics. She had done bowling years ago when we lived in the state of Wyoming. So we got in contact with the Special Olympics bowling. And so we took her yesterday to participate in that. So we get there, and if you know Shan, she loves people. So we're meeting all these people. I lost track of how many people we met. But we were there from 9 o'clock almost till 1 o'clock. And the bowling alley was full of people, and I think we met about half of them. What a great day of meeting people. And so we're going to be doing that every Saturday for a while, getting to know people, and what a great opportunity. And then at 1 o'clock, I went over to the Life in the Sun Church. And there was a special meeting of area churches. I didn't know about it till the day before. Otherwise, I would have announced it last week. But I'll tell you more about it in the future. But we're preparing for a special Franklin Graham outreach of all of Guam. So I was invited to go to that to the last minute. So I went there, and more people to meet. All these pastors and church people. And what a great opportunity to meet people. And then to go to the store and talk with the cashier. You know, just. And then actually yesterday, as part of the bowling, we met some of our neighbors over here. Terry. The day before, I met Joe right across the fence. So what opportunities do we have as we go out and meet people? Get to know their names. What is your name? How are you doing today? We don't have time in the grocery store to share the gospel, but we can share our love with them. I hope you have a good day today. Blessings on you. And if we know their name, I remember we met a Maria not too long ago at Costulus. So if I see her next time, I'm going to say, Maria, I was thinking about you and I said a prayer for you. I hope you have a good day today. All I have is about 2 minutes to do that. But I can be an influence in her life. That's what Paul the Apostle is doing here. He is influencing the people around him, and the gospel is getting out, and people are being encouraged to share the love of God. It's not complex. It's not difficult. Well, what were Paul's motives? If we turn to verse 15 and 17, we see that there's two different kinds of motives that are happening here. Some people are preaching Christ out of envy and rivalry, out of selfishness. You know, there are people who preach the gospel today, or they share their testimony because they want to look good. They want to look super spiritual. And they say, whoa, look at them. You know, they're kind of these super Christian people. And Paul says, you know, let's not preach Christ out of envy or selfishness, but let's do it out of love and sincerity. Verse 16. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. There were some of those early Christians who were preaching with the wrong motives. They were out there sharing their testimony, but it was all about them. But here comes Paul, and he says, there's others out there who are doing it with the right motives, because they love God and they love people. It's all about love. Love does what is good for others. Love always has the best for other people. We want to do something that will help the other person, not to point the fingers back to us and say, oh, look how special I am. No, we want to take the back seat, and we preach out of love. And the bottom line, verse 18, only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. We must look carefully at our motives as we go out into the world, as we go into the grocery store, as we go to our jobs, as we go to school. What is my motive? Is it that I really love the people around me? Maturity comes when we move from receiving all the time to giving. You don't just come to church on Sunday morning just to get, but you go out on Monday to give. Well, what does this do? It brings confidence. Verse 19, for I know through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ that this will turn out for my deliverance. Paul had confidence. He didn't know for sure what his outcome was, but he knew that God was at work through the Holy Spirit. He was helped by the Spirit of Christ. You know, when we go out into the world, we're not by ourselves either. The Holy Spirit is with us. And Paul's hope and goal in all of this, verse 20, my eager expectation and hope is that I will not at all be ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body. Paul didn't know what would happen to him physically. He knew that his life was short. By this point, he was probably, some people think he was 60 years old or older. He knew he did not have much time left. But whatever time he had, he wanted to give it to Christ so that Christ would be honored. Sometimes we talk about retirement. I'm going to talk to the older folks here for a moment. We talk, okay, when I retire, I'm going to go take it easy. Well, you know, I don't think I want to retire. Rhonda and I talk about this, that we are going to serve the Lord until our last breath. Now, my body might not cooperate when I'm 80 or 90 years old. Hopefully, I make it that long. But whatever breath I have, I want to honor God with it. Paul is showing his confidence here. Whether he lives or dies, he wants to glorify Christ. And then we come to really the high point of this chapter. High point of the entire letter. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. There's two options. Death means that we go to be with Christ. But if we're alive here now, we are to be a model and influence of Christ to other people. To live is Christ now. To live is to be Christ-like. To live is to be filled with His Spirit, so that when we go out of here, we are His people. We are Jesus' people when we leave here. Mr. Arnott said this: "The chief reason why Christianity does not yet pervade the world is that Christ does not pervade the life of Christians." Let me paraphrase that. The reason Jesus is not in the world today, all over the place, is because Jesus is not in the lives of Christians first. We put on a good face, but that's about as far as we go. What words would you use to complete this phrase today? Okay, here's your chance to preach. For me to live is, fill in the blank. For me to live is, well, some people will say, for me to live is money. I exist to make money. For some of us, we might say, for me to live is family. For me to live is school. Sometimes for us men, for us, it's our jobs, our careers. That's where we get our self-worth from. It's who we are. Sometimes it's sports or video games or whatever. You know, that's what our whole life is. But could we fill in that blank today? For me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. The bottom line is focus on Christ. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. "You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." That's a powerful verse, isn't it? If we want peace in our life, our minds have to be fixed on God. Fixed on Him. Isaiah 26, verse 3. God will keep us in perfect peace if our minds are focused and stayed on Him. To get there is a question of our will, our decision. Not of debate or anything like that, but a surrender of our will. It is a surrender of our hearts. We must come to the point where Paul the Apostle did. And he says, "I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection. For me to live is Christ." That's what my whole life is about. I am determined to be absolutely and entirely for Him and for Him alone. Can you say that with me today? That I am absolutely and entirely devoted to Him and to Him alone. And then everything else in life, it'll fit in its proper place. All our priorities, they'll begin to fit in the right place if we put Him first. And then everything else, it's just kind of like a puzzle. It all begins to piece together when we make Him our Lord and our Savior first and foremost. Well, God bless this word today. I hope that you are encouraged. So here's my challenge for you. Let's all stand. We'll skip our... You're going to do it? Okay. We're going to sing our last song as the musicians will come. Let's all stand together as we prepare to leave. Not that way, but that way to our potluck. I hope everyone will stay. But here's my challenge for us today. That as you go out this week, remember that being the follower of Christ is not just Sunday morning, but it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Find some special way to be an influence upon someone's life this week.